Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Nice to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Less than an hour now to kick off right here at Bankwest Stadium, where the Eels will take on the Warriors. First of three games this evening, the Titans and the Broncos, and then a massive game of rugby league, the Storm and the Sea Eagles from Amy Park. That is what is in store this evening. Sterlo will join us in about half an hour. We'll get his thoughts on what has happened during the week and tips for the rest of this round as well. Reedy's Mail coming up very shortly. Right now, though, it's the man who last night played his 300th NRL game for his beloved Tigers, got the win over Newcastle. Robbie Farrow joins us. Congratulations, my friend.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well played. Well done. 300. Must have been a nice thing going up there, the freeway to Newcastle. Always a tough place to play. 12-0 down, but the boys getting the job done.
Yeah, it was obviously a pivotal moment in our season last night, and we definitely needed the 2 points, and wasn't the ideal start, to be honest. You know, we went up there wanting to start fast, but that went out the window, and found our backs against the wall pretty early. But I thought as a playing group, we showed a lot of character to fight our way out of it and come up with a great win.
Yeah, Robbie Gertie, mate, congratulations. See, it was a special moment seeing you come through the tunnel. What did you organise there? Like, had Newcastle allowed all family and friends in the actual tunnel before you got out onto the field? It was a really nice touch.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, to be honest, what was happening. So the club did all that in the background, and obviously I knew a whole bunch of family and friends were coming up for the game, and it was pretty special. And obviously having all my family and nieces and nephews and seeing the old man there, mate, he was in tears as I was running out and after the game as well. So it's a moment I won't forget, that's for sure. So can't thank obviously the Tigers enough for organising it, and as well as the Knights being their home game, for going out of their way to make it happen.
And Robbie, we know Madge is big on family. Not only did you walk out with everyone there, but I believe your dad, and possibly were there some more there for the jersey presentation. Can you tell us a bit about how that was?
Yeah, dad and my brother came up the night before for the jersey presentation, and that was pretty emotional. Madge, he's big on family, as you know, and he had a bit of a video package put together from all my other family members and friends, and he had some photos of my mum and stuff, which was pretty emotional. Brought me to tears, to be honest. But I think during these sorts of milestones, it makes you reflect on all the people that have helped you get there. As you guys know, and everyone knows, that you don't get to 300 games without a lot of help and support along the way. And you know, I'm very fortunate that I've got a great network of family and friends that have helped push me along and been there, you know, to support me right through my career.
Hey, Robbie, you know, I suppose, I know you just, you touched on it then, and, you know, I look at sort of my career and then even my son watching what my wife does, and, you know, and even my mum, you know, she hasn't been that well, but just seeing you go through that tough time with your mum and all your friends rally around you, you know, even back to Leichhardt when you were moved on and you're back there, it must bring back so many memories, with your mum, and to get to 300 games when you started in the juniors there at Leichhardt and that.
Yeah, it does, Dill. Mate, I'm the youngest of five siblings, mate. And I was always a bit of a mummy's boy, and my mum did everything for me. And she was obviously a massive loss to our family, and she's always on my mind in everything that I do. And especially during these moments where you wish she was here to witness, and she's not. So that's always difficult. But as I said, to have all my other family and friends there really made it special. And out of that, made me a special pair of boots for my 300th game with mum written on it. So she was there with me every step of the way.
Wow. 300 games, it's enormous. You go at things at great pace, Robbie, and you're very intense about it. Where would, without rugby league, without those 300 games, what would Robbie Farrow have looked like?
Oh, geez, mate, I don't know. mate, from a very young age, I was pretty competitive, and I always had my mindset on wanting to grow up and be a professional athlete. And my dad was big on education, so he made me go to uni, even though I didn't want to go to uni, and I did an economics degree at uni, so... Mate, I probably would have gone down that path, to be honest, which would have been pretty scary. So couldn't see myself sitting behind a desk with a 9-to-5 job. So, mate, thankfully I made a good fist out of rugby league.
Great that you played 300 and got the win. Would have been nice if it was at Leichhardt, but you're back there next week, and I think round 25 as well. You've had some great memories there. I know even scored, I think, a hat-trick on your debut. Do you have a favourite memory at Leichhardt Oval?
Oh, can I say the fight against Anthony Watts? Am I allowed to say that?
Of course you can, yeah.
Yeah.
Bryce Gibbs was heavily involved in that too.
Yeah, lots of memories from Leichhardt. Obviously, there's been some great times there. But it's funny, you know, I walk down the street and so many people stop me to talk to me about the Anthony Watts fight. It's, I don't know why, but yeah, everyone loved that moment. And I think the fact that everyone else loves it made me love it so much too.
Hey, Robbie, you know, you talk about life after football now, and obviously the end's coming near. You've got a business outside of me. You've had a couple of businesses. I think the restaurant there, I remember Bo Ryan absolutely tearing it up there a couple of times.
Yeah, out of business, yeah.
But also, you've got a, is it a promotions company or, you know, a corporate? Yeah.
Yeah, we do events, mate. We do packages to all major sporting events around the world, and we curate corporate events here, you know, for State of Origin and things like that. So.
Mate, what's it called, mate?
Strength to Strength. It's called 247. So I actually named it 247 because when I left the Tigers the first time, I finished on 247 games. So, and that was about the time we started up the business. So might have to change the business name now. But, mate, that's that's going really well, mate. And that's something I'm looking forward to continuing to build, you know, once I retire. So, mate, jump on board. And any listeners that, you know, want to have any bucket list sort of events they want to go to, whether it be a Super Bowl or a Formula One overseas,
the Masters,
we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like Del would love to be an ambassador for you.
That's why he threw the little plug in there. Right?
No, not at all, mate.
Plant seeds, Wendell, plant seeds.
Absolutely. Hey, it was good that your mate Benji scored a try. The first time since 2011 that both of you had scored a try in the same game?
Yeah, I didn't know that till after the game. One of the reporters mentioned it to us. So, mate, the old fellas are still got a bit of a kick in them, I guess, putting on a show for the younger boys. So, it was nice, mate. You know, obviously... We didn't get a win for Benji's 300th a couple of weeks ago, and that was really disappointing. But to get the win last night, for Benji to play really well and just keep our season alive, Newcastle, we're sitting in eighth spot, and if we'd lost last night, mate, we would have been really chasing our tails. So we've given ourselves a hope. We're back at Leichhardt next week. Hopefully we can build a bit of momentum and go on a run.
Hey, Robbie, I'd love to get your opinion on Ryan Madison. I think he's been super impressive with you guys. Yeah. Played in the middle last night. Obviously, comes from a good system there at the Roosters. You bought him at the back end of last year. What did you expect, and what do you think of him as a footballer?
Yeah, mate, I've been like really impressed with him. You know, the first thing I noticed when he came to our club was just how big he was. I never realised how big he was, and he's got the full set of skills. He's got a pass. He's got a kick. He's got footwork, and he's got an engine on him, mate.
He
gets a lot of work. We moved him into the middle of the field last night, and I thought that worked really well for us. And mate, he's been a great pickup for us. It's not very often Roosters lose a player of his caliber, and you know, I think they'll be, you know, regretting letting him go because he's just gone on from strength to strength.
Well, speaking of that, Robbie, I've got to ask you, Josh Adokar, Tedesco, obviously, you know, they moved on and they've obviously played some pretty good football. But did Teddy always have that ability through his juniors? I know he got injured a little bit, and I remember Lottie DeCurie saying to me, this kid Tedesco is going to be okay if he can stay fit.
Yeah, mate, I remember the first day I watched him play, he made his debut in the under-20s and they were playing at Leichhardt and he scored three tries in the first half. And I went home and told all my family and friends, I said, I've just seen the next Billy Slater. And I told the club at the time, I said, mate, this is a kid you got to build the club around. And unfortunately, we kept him there for a while. I did my best to keep him there.
When he
initially signed for Canberra, we got him to stay with the club. But then the next time, mate, we couldn't, the club couldn't keep him from going to the Roosters. So, mate, it does. I hurt a bit every time you see him going so well at Origin level and for the Roosters because you just could have think, you know, what if he was still with us? But I'm really pleased for him that his career's gone from strength to strength. But seeing him from a young age, I always knew that was going to happen.
All right, Robbie Farah, big moment. Congratulations on that 300. Well played. And I'm sure you got a congratulatory text from Rod Reddy. You'd be enjoying this afternoon.
Oh, God. Don't go down that path, mate.
All right.
What about JT?
Well played, buddy. Speak soon.
Thurston sent me a message.
Yeah. Well played, mate.
Hey, too good.
See you, boys.
See you later, mate. There he goes. Robbie Farah, 300 games last night in that win, the Tigers over Newcastle. Reddy's Mail is next. Lovely to have your company here on a Saturday afternoon. We are just half an hour from kickoff. The Eels at home to the Warriors. Crowd building up here at Bankwest Stadium. And the commentary box has the addition of one, and that one being Mr. Peter Stirling-Sterlo. Welcome.
Good afternoon, all listeners. I love coming to work. I drive down, I listen to you guys, and it's such an equal opportunity place to come and work. We've got Del screaming at Gerds, why did you let her win? I don't want her to win. And then we we've got Gerds talking about not knowing that, you know, if you cheat from the bloke next to you, you know, is that really cheating? Because I know going back he was doing an exam and the bloke next to him and answering the question put, I don't know. No. And Gerds put, neither do I. And that's kind of telltale that you might have been having a little bit of a sneak glance.
So I've got so much we're going to get to you in just 1 second. First, I check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Roger Aldridge, g'day, buddy.
G'day, Tony. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very happy to be here at beautiful Bankwest Stadium. Now, we said kickoff not far away, the Eels and the Warriors. It's a bit of a tough one to pick. What do the punters reckon?
Well, the punters like the Eels, and so too do the bookies. $1.60 Parramatta, $2.32 the Warriors. The money just split 50-50 yesterday, but it's been a really good push for the Eels in the last 24 hours.
Now, we know the Titans belted the Broncos earlier in the season. Do we think they can do it again this Arvo?
I don't, the bookies don't, and the punters don't. The money very heavily with the Broncos. It's $1.42, $2.90 the Titans, the line at 7.5.
Well, the Storm love to celebrate again tonight. There's been obviously the Smith 400. Tonight it's the 20th anniversary of their 99 premiership winning team, and they're up against the Manly. And what do the punters think? Can Manly get up down there?
Yeah, been a bit of money around for Manly. It's still with the Storm. They're $1.32, Manly $3.30, but not without support. And the line's at 8.5. And what a glorious day it was 20 years ago. Craig Smith probably tried, I think.
Oh, Roger. That's the last time you'll be on the show, I tell you. What a show. Roger Aldridge, thank you so much. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself, but gamble responsibly. Yeah, 2019 for the Storm. Could it be? Still, when I look across here and see the Peter Sterling stand, do you get kind of, does anything go with that? Do you get a car park? What other, you know, joys do you have when you arrive here?
I feel like I'm coming home, Tony.
Yeah, do you?
He gets to put his feet on the seats.
I feel very comfortable here, you know, and I love looking there and seeing that. And it's a great place to come. And, yeah, this afternoon, how good is it? I'm so glad I'm not a Melbourne supporter because, now, you go to games and you know what you're going to get. Like, this is the ultimate box of chocolates this afternoon, isn't it? We've got Parra up against the Warriors. I got no idea what's going to be served up. it's a constant source of enjoyment because it can go so many different ways this afternoon.
An unusual smorgasbord. There's no doubt about it.
Parramatta v Warriors. Wow.
Right. Well, before we get to the things that have been served up, there's been a couple of issues. You were obviously calling the Dragons game. They never looked like they were going to win, then they looked like they couldn't lose, but they did.
Look, I think the finish was so exciting because you didn't see it coming. 20 minutes into the second half, South Sydney had that many opportunities to put the game to bed and just didn't do it. And, you know, in our game, so often you see those and you think, oh, is that going to come back, you know, and haunt? But it didn't look like that was going to be the case. Dragons weren't travelling that well. And then all of a sudden they go bang, bang, the Cameron McInnes play. You know, that's... You know, if everybody plays like that, you win many more games than you lose. You know, that was inspirational type play and got his side back into it. And then it was quite bizarre at the end. And Gerds, I'll bring you in because you're a kicker. But for Adam Reynolds to actually kick to the right hand side, short restart, when Campbell Graham, his tall winger, is
on the other side, it was weird, wasn't it?
It's so much harder, I would have thought, to kick.
Yeah.
That way.
Absolutely. Well, you saw Ben Hunt try to do it from the dropout. No, just jokes. But, yeah, you're right. Normally, you know, from the kicking perspective, you would stand in sort of behind the ball and then sort of hook it and lob it.
For a right
footer,
yeah.
So you wonder why he went that side.
And how did Jason Saab know?
Well, I thought that's why they did it, because they didn't want Saab over there. They would have thought he would have been on the right wing for the Dragons. But then as soon as he ran over there and tried to defuse it, but couldn't anyway. So anyway,
a penalty. Should have been a penalty.
Which one?
Is that like God?
Dill Earls said he was fine with it.
He was tackled in the air. Is that what you're saying, Wendell?
Yeah. I do.
Oh, you didn't bring that up when Gray Mannersley was on, did you?
Oh, but you guys were giving him a hard time, so I had to sort of give him a bit of a break, you know.
You don't think Jason put himself in that dangerous position himself by coming in the way that he did and leaping up?
But you can't take legs out.
Defenders are standing there or jumping out, and the and the man coming in like Jason did puts himself in that position. How do you penalise the person who's...
I reckon it looked pretty much like everybody was having a crack at the...
That's how it looked to me. I thought it was fair play.
Yeah.
What about the penalty from Gareth Widdop on the sideline?
Yeah.
Play since game three. Like, we're trying to work it out through the Pythagoras theorem, how far he was away. Freddie's still working on it. he's 30 metres out right on the side. It's a long kick, and he just nailed it.
Hit it sweet.
It was...
All night, though, Peter hit him sweet.
Yeah.
The script was over then. I would have been very content as neither a Souths or Dragons fan for that to have been the full stop on that game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And as I said at the beginning, as a Dragons fan, the problem with that is that it's just another little knife in the belly. You see Gareth Widdop do that and realise he's only going to be here for a few games. Then he's gone. So, you know,
he's been here for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And sadly, he
won't
be there.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm not sure. As I said, I'm on board the Raiders as of...
Of course you are.
You're very good.
Shallow.
You're a fair weather friend. Beautiful.
Callan Ponga, we saw beautiful feet, beautiful step to score the try. And then 12-0 the Newcastle Knights up. We spoke to Graham Mannersley a little earlier. Are you completely on board? And I know you spoke before about teammates... being peeved if you don't do those kinds of actions that we saw Dufty do last week to stop a try. Caelan Ponga again doing last night. He hasn't been, the match review committee says he has no case to answer, even though, of course, he had the 10 minutes in the bin.
Well, therein lies the answer, doesn't it? I thought it was a contest for the ball. I thought everybody's coming in and, you know, you watch it in fast motion and it's, you know, everybody's doing their best, including Caelan Ponga. You know, did it cost them the game? Probably not. Did it take away an opportunity for them to win? You know, maybe in that last minute and a half, 2 minutes. But, all for player welfare. And I don't want to see Michael Cheekham laying like that as he did. I think, if you have a look at the Cheekham injury, it's actually when he hits his head on the ground.
Yep.
It's not anybody coming in from side on. He copped a big whack on the skull hitting the turf. But if it's just a fair contest for the football, and I think Caelan Ponga was going for the football, and there's no other way that he really could have done in apart from leading with the shoulder because he's coming in from that angle. So 2 weeks in a row, we've seen that. As I say, player welfare is paramount. But again, you know, and I think Graham Mannersley has kind of backed it up, hasn't he, saying that with the shoulder charge, you know, we're really looking for the front-on confrontation where there is that whiplash effect. And if you are coming on side-on, and, you know, there's probably not going to be any injury coming in that manner, certainly not the Dufty one. And, you know, as I say, I don't think the Ponga one led to the Michael Cheekham on the ground anyway. We're in this kind of flux area as to... You know, with these kind of things, we look at if it's a grand final or if it's a, you know, big last season.
Well I think it's pretty clear now, Pete, that if it's in the act of scoring, you know, you're not going to be charged. They might deal with it on the field, like you might get 10 minutes like Caelan did, but you're not going to be charged because we've seen two now go without being charged. But if you're a back rower and you come out of the line and accidentally, you hit a playmaker around the head, well, then you're going to get a couple of weeks.
But is there a disconnect then, Gerds, in regards to the on-field action and then what possibly is going to happen in regards to no charge? Like, should there be that much of a difference between...
Especially...
Between the decision out there and, you know, 10 minutes in a bin, it's, you know, that's game-changing.
Yeah.
And then no case to answer. Can there be that much of a disconnect between the way that it's viewed at the time and afterwards?
I wonder if they were heavily affected by the fact that Michael Cheekham was...
Stayed down.
Yeah, stayed down. He was shaking and maybe that, influenced them to send Caelan for 10, possibly, because we know that Graham Mannersley said that that does come into it.
The other thing, I mean, but now that they haven't charged him and we've seen the injury, I mean, I guess that rules that out as well. I mean, if they're in the act of scoring a try and you're a fullback and you want to get, you know, your shoulder out and proceed with that sort of tackle, you're just not going to be able to get charged, regardless of injury or not, because we've seen one guy injured and one guy not. The thing that I find it's been a little bit hard to swallow over the last couple of weeks is the fact that we've seen Kikau obviously get sent to the bin for 10 minutes last week and cop the 2 weeks. Now, it didn't affect the result of last week's game because Penrith were in control of that situation. But moving forward, you lose a guy for 10 minutes and he still cops the 2 weeks. Shouldn't there be some sort of, I don't know, shouldn't there be a sanction?
Well, that's what I was exactly going to say.
Takes that into consideration.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't, obviously. The minutes that you're off in the sin bin doesn't count, go against you what happens in when you get referred. Listen, to saying there's a disconnect, though, could it not be the case that both those decisions were correct with Kalyn Ponga? That the decision to sin bin and penalty is a correct on-the-field decision, and the match review committee decision that it needs to go no further is also a correct decision.
Not if somebody ends up in the bin for 10 minutes. I think that's too big a disconnection between the two viewings. And I know, obviously with the match review committee, they can sit and watch at all different angles. They've got all the time in the world to do it. And we're talking about more like split-second decisions out there.
Yep.
But to me, there's a big disparagement between those two.
All right, let's look ahead. Obviously not this game just yet. I'm going to go further afield to this evening, which should be sensational. A little bit of bad blood boils to the surface once more between Melbourne and Manly. It's just great. It's great theatre. I know the Desi's involved. Craig Bellamy has called that out. That's a good game of footy. Are you looking forward to that one this evening?
Yeah, I'm buying.
I'm
with you. Okay, I'm on the stock market. I'm with you. It's savoured the last couple of seasons. Huge rivalry between those two clubs, and Manly go down there with they're a huge threat. They've been really good this year, and they were really good without Tom Trbojevic.
Yep.
So to have him back, it's crazy to think that they are where they are, and he's only playing what, his sixth game or seventh game. Like he's well inside single figures.
Yep.
So they've done a fantastic job, and they go down there really confident. And, I don't think the Melbourne Storm are, even though they lead the competition by 6 points, I'm not quite sure when we get down to the nitty-gritty whether they're the side that they have been in the past. So I'm really looking forward to this. And, to talk about not in the spirit of the game.
Yep.
The spirit of our game has always been you got away with what you can. Like players have always just pushed the boundary, and when there's a line there, okay, well, we can't go any further.
We stop.
Even Cam Smith's own teammates, so Corey Parker last night even was working with him, and he even said, was talking about an Origin game and how Smithy was manipulating the refs, and he said, I've never seen an individual try and control the refs like he did. It was great. And that's a teammate admitting that, We know that he's good with doing that with the refs and trying to persuade them, but I think it was a bit far to say.
Does that get
not in the spirit of the
does
game.
Does that get into your head if you're a referee going down there to ref the game tonight? You would have to know about it, acknowledge it, and say, he's not going to get me tonight.
Everybody else has just got to get better.
Exactly.
James Graham's really good. Like a couple of times he and Aidan Tolman have actually come out. There's a bit of QC in both of those individuals.
Yeah.
They put down good cases. But, everybody's just got to get better at
just brilliant.
I won a Rothmans medal by shaking the referee's hands, before and after game, saying, thank you very much, sir. That's it.
I just thought you went through a pack a day, Pete.
Yes, that polite boy who's
short, Gert.
That polite boy who smokes a lot, when he gets the medal. The players are out here warming up.
First thing you do when you go out there, you acknowledge referee, say, great to have you on board.
They've got a decent one too in Daly Cherry Evans. He goes all right. He pleads a pretty good case.
He does indeed. Not long to go before kickoff, it's the Warriors here with the Eels. Saturday Triple M, NRL. Brain cancer kills more people under 40 than any other cancer. You can join our quest to defeat brain cancer by supporting the Mark Hughes Foundation. Simply buy a beanie, host a beanie day, or donate by visiting markhughesfoundation.com.au and help us tackle brain cancer, because it is, of course, beanie for brain cancer around. If you haven't already got your beanie, go to Lowe's, IGA, grab one, grab two, grab 1,000, get them at the ground. $2.6 million has already been raised. That target was three. Let's get there and beyond. You look good in a beanie, Stella.
Mate, I love the beanie at this time of year as well, because my head gets a little bit cold. Yes, slides on beautifully.
It does. All right, let's start to look at this game here this afternoon. Getting close to kickoff now. Maroon will be the voice you hear to call that game. Sterlo, what are your initial thoughts? The Eels, obviously, you'd be nervous about them away, but here at Bankwest Stadium, they've played some terrific footy, particularly during the Arvo, before that field gets slippery. They had nice and open kind of brand of footy.
Yeah, well, it comes across as a nice combination for them, doesn't it? The afternoon game here at Bankwest. But, I'm really concerned after what I saw last week in an afternoon game as well against Manly, where the floodgates just opened very early on. The scoreline flatters them, you know, to get within 12 against the Manly side who basically closed up shop with 20, 25 minutes to go, you know, doesn't say how bad we were. And, you know, I'm concerned when you've got a team that's got an Isaac Luke in it and some big forwards who can offload. You know, I'm sure that Stephen Kearney had a look at what Manly did to Parramatta last week and will take in a similar attitude that that's where they'll try and go. You know, and if Isaac Luke gets going forward and his forwards get going forward, you know, all of a sudden Roger Tuivasa-Sheck comes right into the game as well. So I've got no doubt Brad Arthur will have, you know, worked very hard on that area of the game, but whether they can fix it up in a week, you know, only time will tell.
A concern for the Eels too, not just for this week, but going forward. Blake Ferguson was in hospital this week because he had a reaction to some antibiotics. So they don't know. They haven't put a time frame on when he will be back. So when they need to win every game to stay in that eight, it's you know, it's pretty concerning for them as well.
It's such a huge game for Parramatta when you look at the ladder. If they could win today, now they go 5 points clear of the Warriors. They go 4 points clear of Newcastle. And, you know, with Cronulla getting home, they sort of can make a loop. Yeah, so it opens up a nice gap there. It's a huge step forward to finals football, as it is for the Warriors. If they go to 19 points and only one behind Parramatta and, right on the verge of the eight. So many sides are there close enough, if good enough. And, you know, these two sides fall into that category.
What is success for the Eels, given they were wooden spooners? Is top eight just getting in the eight? Is that successful for them?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Look, they can't win the competition this year. You know, I can't see a golden month for them if they got there in the top eight. But to come from where they've come from, that would be a big achievement to play. It's not easy to go up half a ladder, which is, you know, would take them into finals football. But you don't want to restrict that. You know, they'd want to go as deep as they possibly can. But what would be disappointing, Emma, is after having a really good first half or good two-thirds start to the season, to let it fall away at the end and, you know, sort of maybe finish down 10th, 11th or 12th. They're in a good spot. As I say, if they're good enough, they're close enough. And, you know, I hope to think that in the camp that they believe that they will play finals football. To do so, they've just got to win a game like today.
Caelan Ponga, we saw his stepping. We saw the old Benji Marshall last night. You think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, some great stepping this afternoon?
Well, yeah, he's been in amazing form. I think he's hit over 300 metres in the last couple of weeks. I expect another great performance from him today. He's the leader of this Warriors side, and he's a fantastic one at that. And you know what you're going to get from Roger.
All right, that's kickoff coming up. It is the Parramatta Eels taking on the Warriors as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.